Welcome back. In this lesson, we're going deep on parallel saturation architecture for dark rollers in Ableton Live. This is advanced mixing stuff, and honestly, it's one of those techniques that can completely change how heavy your tunes feel without wrecking the low end. That's the whole game here. We do not want random distortion slapped across the bass bus. We want controlled aggression. We want density. We want movement. We want that dark, rolling pressure that feels dangerous, but still clean enough to hit properly on a system. So the big idea is this. Instead of using one saturator and overcooking the whole signal, we build multiple parallel saturation lanes. Each lane has a job. One keeps the body and punch intact. One adds low mid-grind. One adds upper harmonics so the bass reads on smaller speakers. And one adds that almost hidden menace layer that you feel more than hear. That modular mindset is the key. You're not just distorting bass. You're designing a system. This approach is especially useful for rolling re-SEs, neuro-adjacent low mids, dark jungle drum layers, break-heavy drum buses, and even full mix character channels if you're careful. We'll focus on stock Ableton tools as much as possible, using audio effect rack, saturator, drum bus, EQ8, compressor, glue compressor, auto filter, utility, multiband dynamics, and if you've got them, roar or pedal. By the end, you'll have a 4-chain bass saturation rack and a parallel drum dirt return that you can reuse in future sessions. Save it as a preset when you're done, because this kind of rack becomes a secret weapon fast. Let's start with routing, because if the routing is bad, the distortion will be bad. Before you saturate anything, organize the basses. Ideally, create a bass group with a sub, a main res or mid bass, an extra texture layer, and any fills or FX bass elements. The important thing is to keep the sub separate from the more distorted material if possible. This is one of the biggest habits to build in dark roller mixing. If you heavily saturate a full range bass signal, the first things to suffer are usually sub, phase, low-end punch, and that ugly mud zone around 120 to 300 Hz. So the cleaner move is to put the sub on its own track, group all the non-sub bass layers into a mid-bass group, and then have a parent bass bus that contains both. For this lesson, put the main parallel saturation architecture on the mid-bass group, not on the sub. That decision alone will save you from a lot of low-end pain. Now on the mid-bass group, insert an audio effect rack and create 4 chains. Name them clean, mid-grit, top bite, and crush. Leave all the chain volumes at 0 dB for now so you can hear what each lane is doing before you balance them properly. Let's build the clean chain first. This lane is your anchor. It preserves punch, note definition, timing, and stereo stability. It's there to make sure the bass still feels like a bass, and not just a cloud of harmonics. On this chain, place EQ8, utility, and optionally a glue compressor. In EQ8, use a high pass around 30 Hz for the fairly steep slope. That's just cleanup. If the bass feels muddy, add a gentle dip around 250 Hz, maybe 1.5 to 3 dB with a moderate Q. If the tone is slightly harsh, you can also shave a touch around 3.5 to 4.5 kHz. Then add utility. Set width somewhere around 80 to 100%. If your version supports bass mono, set the low frequencies below around 120 Hz to mono. If the clean lane needs a little control, use glue compressor at 2 to 1 ratio around 10 milliseconds attack, auto release, and only 1 to 2 dB of gain reduction. Very light. The clean lane should still sound like the original, just tidier and more dependable. Now the fun starts. The mid-grit lane is the money lane for dark rollers. This is where the rolling low-mid pressure lives. It's what gives the bass chest weight, movement, and attitude without flattening the sub. On this chain, place EQ8, saturator, drum bus, compressor, and utility. First, band limit the lane with EQ8 so it only distorts useful frequencies. High pass it somewhere around 90 to 120 Hz. Low pass it around 1.2 to 1.8 kHz. That removes the sub from the distortion path and stops the top end getting messy. If the bass feels hollow, try a small boost somewhere in the 250 to 500 Hz range. If it sounds nasal, notch a bit around 700 Hz. Next, use saturator in analog clip mode. Start with 4 to 8 dB of drive, turn soft clip on, and compensate the output so the level stays roughly matched. Inside this chain, leave dry wet at 100% because the parallel blending is happening at the rack level, not inside the device. If you want more focused harmonic crunch, enable the color section. Try a bass around 150 Hz. A frequency around 2.5 kHz and depth around 3 to 6 dB. That can make the lane feel more intentional and less generic. After that, use drum bus carefully. Yes, on bass. This is one of those slightly evil tricks that works when you don't overdo it. Try drive around 5 to 12, crunch from 0 to 15%, damp somewhere around 5 to 9 kHz, and keep boom off. If you want a bit more movement or attack in the harmonics, try transients from 0 to plus 10. Use drum bus here for density, not for low-end enhancement. Then use a compressor to control the newly created harmonics. Ratio around 3 to 1, attack around 10 to 20 milliseconds, release around 50 to 100 milliseconds, and aim for maybe 2 to 4 dB of gain reduction. Finish with utility, and if the chain feels blurry, narrow it a bit. Somewhere between 60 and 90% width is a good range. Now the important bit. Don't leave this lane at equal level with the clean lane. Pull it down. Start around minus 12 to minus 8 dB relative to the clean chain, then slowly bring it up until the bass starts to talk. That's the phrase to remember. You want it to talk, not scream. Also, here's a coach note. Check the timing feel of the dirty lane against the clean lane. This audio version is shortened for playback.